John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Kuharski survived through the break.
Yeah, barely. I take a sip of water. It goes down the wrong pipe. I'm coughing like a wild man, and I look over to the producer, who's supposed to be of assistance in such situations, and Nick is going about his business over there. I wave, you know.
I'm not saving your life, but you know who can?
I hit the
Who's
talk that? Back
button. Jared, oh, yeah. No, why not?
Jared's not here to give me the Heimlich. I wave to Nick. I call for Nick. Nick, help me. Come slap me on the back here. Help. And he like pantomimes hitting me on the back from the other side of the glass. I could have died over here. And Nick's just... his lack of concern for talent, particularly guest talent.
I hate to tell you, Paulie, he was talking to me.
That is true.
What a fascinating conversation.
So it wasn't a lack of concern with talent. It was talking to the real talent.
Oh, yeah, the real
boy.
Talent.
Oh, boy.
How's the child, Jared? I'm still coming to terms with Jared. The fact that you've spawned.
Yeah, Paul Kuharski-Stillman, he's doing very, very well right now. he's already, you know, reading at a, you know.
Louisville level.
A whole level. I was going to say. Hey, by the way, I don't know if you guys watched the women's volleyball game last night. We did win. We're headed to the national championship.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I turned it on in the middle of the second set, and I found it to be very entertaining. But yeah, so, hey, maybe we'll win a volleyball championship, and it'll erase all the scandals we've had over the years.
Oh, yeah, it'll erase it all. It'll take away that Italian restaurant that Patino likes to go to.
Prostitutes in the dorm room.
Yeah, that'll be
for
forgotten.
The recruits.
So mother and child are doing well, we take it?
Everybody's healthy and everybody's happy, I think.
Congratulations.
Yes, so congratulations, Jared. We're very, very happy for you. So we were going through some quarterback options earlier for the Titans. It's not looking great out there. There are some that I guess could become available that are intriguing. As we sit here today, Jared, not knowing where the Titans are going to finish in the draft order, is there a veteran quarterback option or multiple veteran quarterback options that are realistic that you feel good about for the future of the Tennessee Titans if you're sitting here today trying to map this out?
I didn't hear this conversation earlier, but has Paul come to grips with the fact that the Vikings are going to tag Sam Darnold?
Yeah, they're probably going to tag Sam Darnold.
So you could say I was right and you were wrong?
Well, they haven't done it, but yeah, if they do it, you will have forecasted that well. Congratulations. Nobody
Thank
more
you,
fascinated in, like, predicting things.
You can leave it at that.
Well, no.
So
you're a predictor and I'm a reporter. So that's fascinating. You could sit here and just imagine things and then the 10% you get right, you laud yourself for, and the 90% you get wrong, you never mention again.
Yeah, you know. But here is, I want the report, I'm glad you brought up the reporting angle of this, Paul, because it sounds like you're reporting, you won't completely commit to it, but it sounds like you're reporting that Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, and Chad Brinker are all coming back in the same capacities with which they currently operate, which scares the crap out of me, but it does sound like informed speculation. Is that correct?
This is fascinating. I saw that you tweeted about it, that like you're upset with me that I'm not reporting it. So I know what I know, and I can't report it. I can tell you, yeah, I have informed speculation that people are going to be safe, and I've said things can certainly change over time. They could easily go out and get hammered by Houston in Oilers uniforms, and Amy, as we know, can change her mind and something can happen. But as of now, I would be surprised if big changes come after the season's over. I'm sorry that that doesn't meet your reporting standards and that I can't write that at paulkuharski.com officially and then wind up being wrong because things change. But that's the extent to which I could say it because I have standards of reporting. And again, like unlike you, I'm not just going to have a take. I'm going to have a report, and I don't have it that I could report it.
Good. So I'm glad that you said that because, Robbie, I thought you made the best point this week when you said if you were Amy and you sat down with Rand or you sat down with Brinker or you sat down with Callahan and you asked, why should you come back? You kind of made Joe give a reasoning for why they should come back. What have they done to earn the ability to come back? When you bring up the quarterback front, if you're Amy and you're sitting down with Rand Carthon, who, again, I'm kind of getting tired of this who picked whom kind of thing, but Rand was the general manager when they picked Will Levis. Rand was the general manager when they decided to commit to Levis this year and not bring in a better backup that could really take the job instead of Mason Rudolph. So he's at least somewhat culpable for Levis. If you're Amy, you're sitting down with Rand Carthon, doesn't the question have to be, what is the plan at quarterback? And if Sanders, Ward, and Darnold are all out, it doesn't seem like there's really a viable answer out there, is there? There isn't an answer that doesn't make me go, really? Like,
not that's Aaron immediately Rodgers. Obvious. Like, does Stafford become available? Who knows? Like, does Derek Carr, are you down for that if you're the Titans? Like, none of those guys are guaranteed to be available right now. But to your point, the other options that we know will be available at free agency are not good.
But I don't think a GM can sit down on January 5th and tell an owner exactly what the plan is at quarterback, not knowing what sifts out. I mean, he can give her a general view of what the hope is, but in the timing of how things pan out, that's not the time where he could tell her definitely what he plans to do at quarterback. He'd give her a general sense of direction and hope. But, you know, he can't give her that answer at that stage. A good general manager couldn't give her that sense at that stage. A good
but
experience.
Could he not give her, like, okay, here's kind of the
direction.
Here are the options that we think maybe. So if option A is out, then this is option B. And if option B is out, then this is. So I say all of this because, look, I didn't think Bo Nix would be a starting quarterback and be as good as he has been at this point when the Broncos took him. And it didn't look like the Broncos really had a plan until they took Bo Nix at the draft. That being said, like, I really, if you're Amy and you're sitting there, is Rand Carthon going to sit there and try to sell her on Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers or Mac Jones? And is that going to win you over?
Well, I mean, I think the counter to that, and look, I'm not a big Rand fan, but the counter to that is my replacement is going to have the same options as I am at quarterback. He's not going to come in and miraculously have access to Mahomes or Allen or Burrow.
But my replacement can go 3-13, so he could draft a quarterback that he sees as a 3 or 4 year option. Like, again, let's use Jalen Milroe, who I'm not a huge fan of, but at times does look like Lamar Jackson out there, and then at other times can't complete a pass.
Yeah.
Let's say that guy has the stability to say, hey, you know, this is going to be a long process, and we're going to take a young guy, and we're going to sit him on the bench behind Daniel Jones, and we're going to – a new guy can do that. I think we all know Rand Carthon can't come in here and say, all right, Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback while we – grow this other quarterback and sit him on the bench and then put him in there. And because if they bring everybody back and they start off 0-3, it's going to be so ugly around here that, I mean, there's probably no coming back from that at that point. You've talked about, Paul, the job survival aspect of this. There is no doubt that they have to win next year if they come back. And then that's going to, in my opinion, spur a whole nother act of desperation in the offseason that's only going to make things worse. And I saw in the Fowler report that he mentioned Aaron Rodgers, and Fowler clearly has a hook in the organization. He's the one who reported the quarterback switch. He's had other reports. I don't know who it is, but he's got a hook. And when he threw out Rodgers, I'm like, you know, that might be, if I was desperate to save my job knowing I had to be good next year, that might be the only option I'd have too.
But, I want to save my job, so I'm going to bring in the biggest alpha ever who's going to control my personnel, who's going to order me around to sign Alan Lazard and everything. Aaron Rodgers would be an absolute disaster here. I'm not convinced that Jeremy Fowler has a hook here. You consistently do this. Jeremy Fowler did not get Mason Rudolph starting from inside the organization. Jeremy Fowler got Mason Rudolph starting from either Will Levis's agent or Mason Rudolph's agent. That's so obvious. I don't understand how you don't get that.
Well, he's had other reports about the team.
Well, I mean, I welcome you to give me a list, but I don't think he's getting a lot from inside the Titans organization. I think he's getting a lot from agents who are dealing with players inside the Titans organization. And a flip mention of Aaron Rodgers does not Aaron Rodgers make, though I know it'll give you a good hour of content this afternoon.
Well, I've already used it this week. But I mean, again, when it comes to what the Titans are going to do, I think you got a better shot to sell people. Have you heard my theory about Poo-Poo Johnson?
I've heard it, yes.
No, I have that not.
If the Titans were to sign Poo-Poo Johnson to play quarterback, 3 out of 10 Titan fans would think it's the best thing that ever happened. Because agree with everything that the Titans say. They'll let Rand Cook crew. They immediately went from in J-Rob we trust to let Rand Cook. They thought that Levis was going to be a franchise quarterback. They bought 100 bottles of his mayonnaise cologne. And now if Poo-Poo Johnson gets signed, they'll be like, oh, yes, Jared, you didn't see Poo-Poo at Rear End State. They did. You don't understand. Then that's 3 out of 10. If they signed Aaron Rodgers, I think that they could get 2 or 3 more out of 10 to get on board with it. They could convince people. You know, hey, Russell Wilson, everybody thought he was a bum in Denver, and look what they did in Pittsburgh. I think they could convince people with Rodgers. I don't think there's any convincing with anybody else that's out there other than Sam Darnold, and I don't even think Sam Darnold is the answer to your prayers because I think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback on a good team, but not a good quarterback on a bad team. So, again, I don't want Rodgers either, but if I had to win this year or next year, I feel like Rodgers might be the best option. And you're talking about
he's getting it done with the Jets. Because he's getting it done with the Jets.
Again, go back to Russell. I mean, is it an Aaron problem or the Jets problem? Because the Jets have
they're one and the same. Because Aaron's pretty much running the Jets.
But when you go back, he's running the Jets. He's John Madden football's running the Jets. What are we talking about here?
Aaron Rodgers.
Again, when it goes to the idea of like who they're going to sign and what they're going to do, you brought up this like, well, why would they bring in this alpha male? That sounds stupid. I would counter that it sounds stupid to go trade for an injured corner that nobody else wants to trade for because he's injured and then he got injured, but they did it.
Hey, by the way, you started this Aaron Rodgers thing way back because you believe where a guy builds a house determines who he should play for. Like you're big on geography dictating things.
It's not where he built the house. It's who he built the house around, which I know you know, and who he told that he said he was open to joining the Titans, which I reported.
Dude, that he tells Clay Travis that he's open to playing for the Titans means nothing. When a guy doesn't have a team, guess who he's open to playing for, Jared?
Everyone.
Anyone that'll pay him. I mean, this is so naive by
him. He had a team. He was on the Green Bay Packers.
And he was on his way out of the Green Bay Packers. And guess what? That meant he's willing to pay for somebody
except
who wants him.
Except that he wasn't on his way out of the Green Bay Packers. He stayed with the Green Bay Packers. But other than that, you're right about everything. You're right.
Jared, this idea that a guy says, I'm willing to play for X, that you take as having like real meaning as opposed to a general like I'll play for a variety of teams who would pay me and this one would be exceptionally convenient because I'm building a house there is crazy.
You mean to tell me that if Joe Burrow tweeted out right now, I'm willing to play for the Tennessee Titans, even though he's on the Bengals, that's not a story?
I mean to tell you, he would be, yeah, if he was, he'd be willing to play for a lot of teams who would pay him a lot of money. He's talking to Clay Travis about moving to Nashville, and he says, I'd be willing to pay for the Titans. That's a pretty casual conversation with a dude you're moving in next to. That's not earth-shattering stuff.
Jared?
But good grasping at straws. I see how he wound up playing for the Titans, by the way. So you nailed it.
Great stuff as always, Jared.
A-plus reporting, right, PK?
A-plus reporting, right. That's what I love. I'm not a reporter until I hear something that I think might be a big hit. Then I'm going to try to report it. Then when it doesn't come true, guess what? I'm not a reporter.
I didn't report Aaron Rodgers was coming to the Titans. I reported Aaron Rodgers was buying a house, which was true, and he was telling people that he was open to playing for the Titans, which was true.
Hey, I'm open.
What was not true, Paul?
Hey, Jared.
Paul? Why didn't you dispute it at the time?
Here's
PK?
A report for
you're
that.
This great reporter. Why didn't you put out there, this is all not factual information? When in fact it was all factual information. You're welcome.
Well, I mean, it's the broadest factual. I'm going to give you a report here. I'm willing to move to any state in the country for the right price.
Well,
whoa! I really specific there.
Imagine PK in Wyoming.
Employer was
let's
me,
get I'm that. Let's outkick Mike. Write that. Willing to move anywhere in the country for the right price. Woo! Stop the press.
Paul Karski in Jackson Hole.
I know, Paul, that you're so hell bent on trying to say that Rand was as good as Floyd at the end of Floyd's tenure, which
here
is
we go.
Borderline ridiculous. You know, so I know I can spin you into these crazy things, but everything I reported, and you know this, was true.
And you know this.
Thank you, Jerry.
Here's a question right for you. Jerry. You brought up Floyd. I know you're big on the salary cap not being real. So when the salary cap wasn't real, why did he cut Samari Roll and Derek Mason and have that huge purge? Because of the fictional salary cap or because of the real salary cap?
So it's actually funny you say that because
when he sat you down at his knee in front of the fire and said, "Come here, little stilly, let me tell you why I cut all these guys." It wasn't the salary cap.
It was during the great off season of 2020 when we had nothing to talk about for
and you were 3. Months.
And yeah, and he said at the time bad, he made bad, a comment bad. About how the rules were different when he was GM than what they are now. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, there weren't void years, and there weren't you couldn't now you can do whatever you want. Before when I was GM, you couldn't do that." Now look, I don't know if the cap was real then or if just Bud Adams' cap was real then because I was in middle school, so I didn't keep up with the semantics of the CBA the way I do now. I actually did have to, you know, go to social studies class back then. So I don't know if he was telling the truth or if they could have manipulated it however they wanted to. But Bud Adams was like, you know, putting his foot down the way he did in 93 when he made him get rid of Warren Moon. That I couldn't tell you. But he did make a comment during the COVID offseason about how the rules were different with void years and other structures you can put into contracts than they were when he was GM.
Told me every team in the league was going to have a salary cap reckoning like that. Didn't see many teams in the league have salary cap reckonings like that.
Jared, great stuff as always. We got to go. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
We'll react to what Stilly had to say coming up next.
Still Billy.
Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game for the TransPerfect Music City Bowl on Monday, December the 30th. Chase and Big Joe will have pregame coverage starting at noon, kickoff at 1:30. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Hi-Fi Buys. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Charles Robinson will join us here in just a few minutes. We'll get into the benching of Will Levis, what the future could look like for the Titans at quarterback with him coming up here at 7:30. Spirited conversation between Still Billy and PK. A lot of people, big fan of your little Stilly comment that you
I don't even remember the little Stilly comment.
Are you talking about Floyd? You're like, come here, little Stilly. Yeah.
Well, it's a father-son relationship, which I've always maintained is I haven't met the real Mr. Stillman.
Great guy.
But I feel badly for him.
Great guy. Love me, Mr. Stillman. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our
hey,
phone
Nick,
number.
I'm all right. Just if you continue,
Kuharski remains
continue
alive.
To check in.
Let's say we brought up this guy earlier. I don't know if it's going to excite Titans fans, but let's say Derek Carr becomes available and the Titans choose to go that route. What does a Derek Carr-led Titans football team look like the next 2 years?
I mean, I think it's a very interesting question. I think it gives Brian Callahan a chance to execute his offense. I mean, Derek Carr has been an up-and-down player. The first time I saw him, the first time he was here with the Raiders, I remember being down on the field pregame and watching him warm up, and I was very surprised by the zip on the ball. And so, look, he's got some talent. He's older, and, you know, I don't know that his story is entirely written yet, but, you know.
It's 33. He'll be 34 in March.
Yeah. So he's got one more act. Right?
Yeah.
One more act. Now, you know, I don't know that he gets out of New Orleans now, but they've got a big change coming. They got to get out of what's left over from the Peyton regime and go a new direction. And if he's involved in that or not, it remains to be seen. But I think the Titans could do a lot worse than Carr in a veteran quarterback next year. And I think, you know, he's above replacement level.
Yeah.
Right?
I would agree.
At least a tick above.
I would agree. I don't know that Justin Fields is. Like, I like the athletic ability that he has. I watched him play a lot when he was in Chicago. How much of his struggles was on him and how much of it was on that tire fire of a place, I'm sure there's probably some combination there. With Fields, though, it just kind of feels like he's a tick late. He's a tick late in his timing. He's a tick late in his decision-making. And how much better is that going to get in year four for him? Year five? I don't know.
I think you really want to avoid exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You want somebody whose decision-making is good, right? We always see teams go opposite, right? You got a hard-ass coach and you fire him, then the next guy's nice and all of that.
Yeah.
Vince Young was, you know, not the first guy in the building and not the last guy in the building. Well, that's a big reason that they drafted Jake Locker, because he was going to work his tail off. And now, after experience with Will Levis, whose decision-making and pocket awareness is poor, I feel confident that whoever they bring in next, whatever weakness he has in his game, he's going to be a pretty good decision maker.
Yep.
And have a pretty good pocket feel if they can find that.
I would agree. We'll have Charles Robinson with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on everything that's gone down with the Titans and what the future of the quarterback position could look like. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Charles Robinson, normally with us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Joining us today here on the program, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you doing this morning?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, Will Levis to the bench. Mason Rudolph coming in to close out the season here for the Titans, and it looks like the Will Levis era over as starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Your reaction to that, and now what now faces Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, and the Titans, and the decision to get back into the quarterback wilderness moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising at all at this stage. He's a turnover machine this year. Pocket feel really did not seem to improve. We talked about it after the benching. He comes back out, and you feel like things are going in the right direction, but it only took a couple of games before he backslid into basically the same performance we saw pre-benching. And I'm with you. I got to believe, like, at this stage, they're going to have to sit down and hash out their options now heading into the offseason. And I'll be completely honest with you, it's not like I'm talking to Amy, but I don't think they know what their options are at this stage. And I think some of that has to do with what's going to happen with some of the veteran movement in the offseason. Like, Darnold could be a curveball that could change up the quarterback landscape and what's really available. I think the NFL draft, obviously we've talked about this in the past, not a great class. It's capped in a few different ways, but we haven't gone through the college football playoff, although it's missing a number of guys we would have liked to have seen in the playoff. And then B, we don't know what the combine workouts are going to look like. And somebody always gets heat and prospects that I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard, hey, it's two first-round quarterbacks in this draft, and, you know, teams are grousing about it. They're probably not even really top 10 guys, but they're going to end up being top 10 guys because of need. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being more than a two-quarterback draft. But it's not – I mean, it's a pretty weak draft in general. When you talk to teams, the first-round grades, teams generally average – I don't know, maybe 14, 12, 14, 16 first-round grades a year, depending on how optimistic certain staffs are. Like, I've heard eight this year, eight first-round grades on some boards. Yeah, not great. I mean, it's great if you're sitting there and going, okay, well, the talent shelf is I've heard like from 9 to like the mid-50s, you're going to see like the talent is comparable in that space for some teams. So it'll vary for different teams, but I think there's no doubt after they decide what's going to happen with the leadership of the team, they're going to have to decide what's next for a quarterback. And I would think you're in for a bridge option unless they're going to swing big for like a Darnold.
Here's three veterans that have bad cap situations. It'd be hard for their teams to get out of them, but I'm wondering if you think there's any chance they come free. Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins.
So Stafford, Stafford, like the way they redid his deal in the preseason, like they can definitely walk from him, and he can definitely walk from the Rams if he wanted to. I mean, and I think the understanding there is, they'll evaluate at the end of the season. I don't think McVay wants that to happen. I don't think he's really looking forward to what any of the other options would be out there. Stafford's been a little bit up and down, but I think if they put it together late again, like they did last year, it'll give McVay enough juice to say, let's run it back one more year and kind of see where this goes. Cooper Kupp's probably going to be out of the org after this season. I'd be surprised if they didn't move him this coming off season, but if Stafford comes back, maybe that's sort of the package deal. Stafford stays, Kupp stays, that kind of situation. Who else did you say? You said Carr, right?
Yeah, Carr and Cousins.
Yeah, Carr and Cousins. So Cousins is, unless Penix melts down, just completely melts down, Cousins won't be in Atlanta. Like I fully expect Cousins to say, I'm not waiving my no trade. I'm going to sit here and you guys didn't deem to let me know you were going to draft Penix until you were on the clock. So I'm going to make my business decision and sit here and not waive my no trade. And you're going to make me a free agent in March because they're due. There's like a $10 million guarantee on 2026 salary that's going to be due. I want to say the fifth day of the new league year, it becomes guaranteed. They're not going to guarantee that money. They're done with him. Like it's over there. Unless, like I said, either Penix, there's a catastrophic injury or Penix is just absolutely horrible, which talking to people there, they do not expect that. Like they think this is going to be a really big momentum turner for them. So I think Cousins definitely becomes available. Carr, it's a little stickier. I mean, the cap implications there for New Orleans are pretty tough. I think he could become available. If he does, they know it's basically a reboot situation at that stage because they're going to have to inflict some accelerated cap pain. But I would say for sure Cousins, maybe Carr, and I'm kind of out on Stafford, moving on from LA. I think they're feeling pretty good about the situation now as opposed to maybe where they were a little bit earlier in the season.
So, Charles, on the Darnold front, obviously, Minnesota drafted J.J. McCarthy. He gets hurt, and this has been a wash for him this year in terms of on the field. Darnold's played great. So, I'm looking at it, I think Minnesota would kind of be crazy to let Sam Darnold walk. How do they view it? How do you think that they handle the Darnold situation at the end of this year?
So, interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna be writing about this next week. This is interesting to me because my full presumption was until I started to talk to some people there, you got to move on. The plan was for McCarthy. I talked to them extensively about it in the summer. They were even saying then, hey, we think Darnold could have a big year if we start him. This is before McCarthy had gotten hurt. And I was kind of like, okay, sure, guys. All right. And then, it happens. And everything they told me about where he was in the system, what he had learned in San Francisco, how much he had really turned himself around, getting beyond first read, second read. It all really came true. And so here's the thing. I was acting on that information. You reach out and you go, okay, so if you can't really keep this guy, I think the attitude there now is why not? maybe we can keep both. And I was honestly a little shocked. I'm okay, it really, there's a consideration of potentially keeping both. And I think it all depends on what happens the remainder of the season. It depends how Darnold, you know, finishes out. But look, if they make a good run into the playoffs and Darnold continues to, I mean, he's, you know, I'd say he's drawn back a little bit compared to maybe where he was in the first half of the season. But I think they also feel like there's still more ceiling there working with him. That like Kevin O'Connell, I think in his mind, he feels like it takes 2 years for a guy to really be fully immersed in what O'Connell likes to do. And then once that guy's got the 2 years, it's gangbusters. And so they, like, I think he still feels like there's meat on the bone. They may attempt to keep him, but it's going to depend on what other team's going to be offering. You know, what's that market going to look like for him? I don't think they know yet right now. I think there's this assumption by some of us on the media side that, hey, there's going to be a ton of strong interest. He's going to get bigger offers than anybody realizes. We'll see. Like, I think what people are nervous about is Kevin O'Connell doesn't come with Sam Darnold, yep. Right? And so it's like there are certain spots where he would fit. If he goes back to San Francisco, like that would be a huge curveball. But if he, you know, that's clearly a fit there. It's sort of, you know, maybe like McVay in L.A. Like, I've talked to people at the Rams. They don't seem super enthused about that idea, but they do agree that there's definitely synergy there in terms of, you know, him running a scheme, a Shanahan scheme. McVay's got his version of the Shanahan scheme as well. So he's definitely a curveball, but I think it's going to just depend on what the market interest is. And I'll tell you this. There are agents that when their player, you know, really fails through a number of franchises and then finds a spot that really works, there are agents who are like, maybe we need to figure out a way to stay. Like, you know, you could get two more quarterback contracts in Minnesota if you stay, if you're Sam Darnold, right? And you do well. So you're looking at potentially an 8-year run of really good money and potentially high level play. You could look at one contract. You could be Kirk Cousins, right? You could be, you make that change and it doesn't work at the next spot. He goes right back to zero. And so there's a lot of dynamics, I think, that are going to come into play here. And I think Darnold is sort of that shoe that everyone is waiting to see how it drops. And then they move on to a number of other guys, which are probably all bridge options. You know, Daniel Jones, like Rodgers, see what happens with Rodgers. He seems to, I think he's campaigning to stay in New York, which is wild to me. You know, Fields, that's another situation. I got to believe they're moving forward with Russ after the season. But again, I also think some of this is going to depend on contract negotiations too.
Former Jets, Charles Robinson from Yahoo, our guest. Former Jets are certainly helping shape a picture of just how awkward and bad ownership is there. Whether Woody Johnson or his brother is running things going forward, are they going to have to try to change some things in order to draw a GM and a coach of the quality they need to change things there? Or is whoever goes there going to have to just deal with the chaos?
Well, is he going to resume an ambassadorship is a question. Like, I think people in the building would love to get Woody. This is Prey and Trump. Come on, man.
Like, head for Dublin.
Do it. Yeah, pull the trigger. Let's send him back to the UK and get him out of the building. But I think they also know there's going to be plenty of time for him to make the decisions he needs to make before he does that, i.e. next head coach, next general manager. Yeah, there's, I would say, significant pause for top level GM candidates who could potentially end up, getting interviews with New York. I think some of these guys that really would like either a second shot, John Robinson, like, or want to break in, Jim Nagy, you know, those are situations where you would see guys go, okay, I gotta work the situation. This is what's available to me. Clearly it's going to be troubling dealing with this owner, but I can get some guidance from Joe Douglas. How do I navigate this? What do I do? And what should I be prepared for? But yeah, I think they're going to have problems. I just don't see you know, a candidate who has a multitude of jobs potentially available to them, has some patience, is going to say, yeah, let me go ahead and risk it with the Jets at this stage. Money could play into it, though. I will say that, too. I don't think Woody's inclined. Christopher would pay. I think Christopher would not have a problem doling out a healthy chunk of change for the right GM candidate. Woody, not so much. I mean, Woody's kind of he's a little bit of a penny pincher, despite what some of the most recent moves have shown.
Big fan of Madden, though, from what we hear. Big fan of Madden games.
Man, I don't even – that's just wild to me. Like, and the crazy thing is, like, I know people there. I know people there who are in high-ranking positions now. I know some of the people who left, right, who got fragged, and I never heard that story. And all of that, I know people in Denver. Like, I can't – when it all happened, I'm like, how did I never hear this? This is – so crazy. I would have thought I would have heard it, but yeah, it's I'm just telling you, like, it's there were people there in that organization pre-election. Like, I remember having conversations in October about, like, the future and where do things go, and the very common response you'd get is, does Trump win the election? Like, it felt like the franchise was sort of like, how are we going to be dialed in based on, is our owner going to be here, or are we going to be free of him for, you know, at least 4 years? And I think people there have their fingers crossed. Like, that's how messed up the situation is there. I think they have their fingers crossed that he gets out of their hair.
Charles, last thing for you. You bring up Rodgers. So, obviously, there's a lot going on in that tire fire of an organization right now. What do you think happens with him? If it's not in New York, does he still play? What's the interest level if he comes available?
Well, I will tell you this. He will, if he moves on, like, if he gets cut, he's not going to have the leverage. It won't be – I know that there's always this consternation about how he acts when he gets into an organization. I want my guys. I want this. I want that. And that's natural. That's happened in the past. There's a pattern there. He's not going to have that leverage this time around. There's not a lot of choices, I think, out there for him, and I don't think there's an overwhelming appetite for him to come in. And I think if anybody brings him in, it's purely as a bridge option. They all know that. So, you know, that's tamped down a little bit. At this stage, I don't think they're inclined to keep him. He is playing better, and people in the organization will tell you he's healthier than he was earlier in the season, although they won't expound on exactly what was wrong with him earlier, because I don't think he will tell them. Like, that's the weird thing that's sort of developed over this season. I think they think he is masking some things that are wrong with him and not sharing that information with the organization, because he doesn't want that to dictate whether he plays or not, right? But, I mean, Devontae Adams has been telling people left and right that, hey, he's a lot healthier now than he was then, and there's a reason why he's looking a little bit better. If you look at the film the last couple of games, he is definitely moving better.
Yeah.
Like, they thought he was dead from the waist down. Like, I remember when Joe Douglas got fired, and I was talking to somebody in the organization, they were like, he just got nothing left. They're like, waist down, there's nothing left there. And it looked like that. But the last couple of games, he's got a little more pep. And, you know, if it is injuries and he's kind of getting over that hump and he puts some good tape down, I think maybe that changes whether or not they're willing to try and go back one more. The thing with the Jets is, does the next GM, the next head coach, do they want him? Do they want him? Do they want Devontae Adams? Like, do they want to deal with that, or they just want to go, let's clear the decks and figure out something moving forward? There will he have options elsewhere? Yeah, because there's going to be quarterback need. There just is. It's not a great draft. The other bridge options aren't awesome. I would not be stunned if he would like to go to Tennessee. I would not be stunned if he would like to play for the Titans. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's a murky – it is a very difficult quarterback market to call right now, because I think we're still sorting some things out. Some guys are still going to affect their situations with how they play down the stretch, and then we're all sort of waiting to find out exactly what's going to happen with the Vikings and Darnold.
Yep, no doubt about it. Charles – Great stuff, man. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will talk to you after the holiday.
Hey, I meant to ask you, so does PK, does he have a Rex Road impersonation?
He says he's been working on it.
I've been workshopping it, but I'm not ready. Maybe I'll do it before the end of the show, and if I do, we'll send you the audio.
Just have it ready when I roll through. If I either see it at the maybe the owners' meetings or the combine or next summer when I come through, we can roll it out then. Okay, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Charles.
It's a good request. Yeah.
It is. Charles Robinson, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Scheduling stuff going on this week, so we'll have Charles after the Christmas holiday. We'll have TD coming next. We'll get into more Titans talk with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.